Good morning. And happy Palm Sunday. The base of my message is from the gospel that was just read to you, but these words. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." If you wish, you may read through this before the service, answer it during the sermon, take notes in the back, or allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Someone said before the last service that if you like my sermon, you can wave your palm branches. If you don't, put it over your face. I say if you don't like it, turn it back in the back. No, I'm just kidding, okay? All right, we'll leave it at that. So, this Lent and Easter season, we've been talking about the elements of Lent with our school children, our Wednesday night program, our Wednesday night services. And we've talked about elements, remember? Ashes, light, bread, water, palms. And so today we're going to talk about another element. Now, I want to ask you this. Will eggs be part of your Easter? Now, next week, the youth have an Easter breakfast for us. I believe eggs will be part of that. Do you, like, still decorate eggs? Is your house decorated with eggs? I know we have the Easter egg hunt this afternoon. We have, like, 900 stuffed eggs already. Okay, so your eggs will be part of your Easter. I always like when I come back home after Easter services, I have a hard-boiled egg. Are eggs part of your Easter celebrations? And the reason we have eggs is because they're empty. They're like the empty tomb. They're cracked open. Well, I think that stones should be part of your Easter celebration too. You'll hear more about that later, stones. So little elements mean a lot. You ever had a stone in your shoe? Last autumn, I got a bruise on my heel. And I said, what happened? Well, I had to go out to get something on my car, and I didn't put any shoes on. I stepped on a stone, okay? You ever have a stone in your shoe? A stone in your appliance? I paid $180 to have my washing machine repaired because there was a little stone in someone's pocket that fell out and got caught in one of the gears. And then a couple years ago, my kitchen was flooding a little bit because some calcium built up and made a little stone and got lodged into the ice crusher and the water dispenser. And you ever have a crack in your windshield from a stone? There's a little crack, and at a time like this, it gets cold and warm. Next thing you know, your whole... Yeah. Little stones mean a lot. It sort of recalls me. You ever know if you've seen the movie Troy? And there's Brad Pitt. And there's an epic battle between Hector, the prince of Troy, and Achilles is mad because Hector accidentally killed his cousin. And during the battle, Hector trips over a stone, and Achilles says, "Get up, Prince of Troy. I won't let a what? A stone rob me of my glory." Little stones mean a lot. And we're talking about stones. Jesus calls you and I stones. Can you read that with me? Now, so stones are very significant in the Bible. A capstone is an archway, and the capstone's that last piece that goes in there that keeps the archway true and holds it into place. Or there's a cornerstone I'm pointing at our church, and a cornerstone is not only weight-bearing, but also has exact angles for the architects and for the engineers and construction experts to build. And so Jesus claims to be the cornerstone, and he talks about stones that cause people to stumble. There's things that cause people to stumble today. I don't like the Ten Commandments, and so I can't believe in Jesus. I don't like that Jesus is the only way to heaven, so I can't believe in Jesus. I don't believe that the Bible's Word of God, so I can't believe in Jesus. I don't like this one thing about Jesus. How can Jesus be the only way, and how can God be the only God? I believe in all gods. And it becomes a stumbling block, and some people simply can't believe because of that. So Jesus, stones mean a lot. Jesus is a cornerstone. And today there are stumbling blocks. I met people who have stumbling blocks. Little things about Christianity that keep them from believing at all. And so stones mean a lot. And then so today is Palm Sunday. Hold up your branches. And many of us don't know this, but in many ways, this is the national flag of Israel. In Solomon's temple, they engraved, there was gold engraved palms on the wall in the temple. And then for the Feast of Tabernacle, the men came to celebrate that, and they're all told to bring palm branches. And they remember how God provided them in the desert. And then even Isaiah, it talks about the eternal feast in heaven in which palm branches are shown. You go ahead and put them down. Can you all read this about this celebration with the national flag of Israel. I'll read that with me. The whole crowd. It's sort of like a victory parade that the Browns and Lions had. Oh, never mind. They never had that, okay? But with Jesus, it's a victory parade. One of the few times in his ministry where the crowds gathered to worship him. They shouted, Hosanna, but not all there were happy. There are some people who weren't there happy, and those are the Pharisees. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, rebuke your disciples, tell them to be quiet, tell them to put their palm branches down, we don't want to hear it anymore. And then Jesus said this, can you read it with me? I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. After last service, someone came up to me as I was greeting people, and they say they make stones for people, and they're Christian stones. And this one says, hope, because it's a rock that God rules. And they pass this out to people, because even stones speak, and they got these rocks, the idea from this scripture. Now, that seems sort of odd, that if the disciples would have been quiet and not saying praises and hosanna to Jesus, that the power and majesty of God is such that the stones themselves would speak out. That sounds a little odd, but not really, because God made everything. This is what King David says. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice isn't heard. You see, nature itself cries out for God. When David looked at the stars and the constellations in order, he said there has to be a God who put them there. I was talking to an atheist this last week and said, how can you believe in God? And I said, how could you not believe in God with the complexity and the majesty and the grandeur of nature? How could you deny that? So it's not odd for stones to speak out because all nature speaks out. Martin Luther says one blade of grass gives glory to God. Do you ever hear of George Washington Carver? You know what I'm talking about? If you go to his museum in Neosho, Missouri, George Washington Carver says, even the most simple of seed gives glory to God because of its complexity. It can grow a plant that bears other seeds that can only come from God. Nature itself testifies of God. So do not be surprised when Jesus says, if you're not going to worship me, guess what? The stones will open up their mouths and do so. See Stephen Edwards. He wrote a book, Why Christianity Still Matters. And he says this, nature is signs of God shouting out and pointing all to him, and that's for unbelievers. So in your mind, come with me. I want you to go to the most majestic thing you've ever seen. Now, I'm not talking about birth of your child or grandchild. I'm talking about what's the most majestic thing in nature you've ever seen. Are you there? Is it a picture of the sunset? You've been to Hawaii or the Bahamas? Are you seeing that? Have you seen mountain grandeur where mountain peaks scrape the sky? Or maybe it's around here and just a beautiful autumn day and there's no wind and all the trees are in their glory. The most majestic thing I've seen was my family and I were on vacation and we're coming up over the Togwoody Pass in Wyoming and we're coming down the mountain going toward Yellowstone National Park and there are the Grand Tetons. And the Grand Tetons shone out and there was a section of the mountain where there's just thousands of feet of sheer granite. Picture it with me. 1,000 feet tall, 1,000 feet wide, and the sun reflected off it. I don't like heights, but that was too majestic for me not to see. And there, something cried out to me. There's more to life than just earth and nature. This is God himself. Look at my majesty. You ever had that happen in your life where something just cried out to you and said, there I am. I am God. And that's what C. Stephen says about creation. There's something so deep and beautiful it pulls us out of our ordinary life into the majesty of God. Job speaks this, but ask the animals and they will teach you, or the birds in the sky and they will tell you, or speak to the earth and it'll teach you, or let the fish in the sea inform you, which of these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? And his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. So when birds fly in flocks and when animals know how to migrate, that is all testimony to God. So do not be surprised that stones can speak out. If someone makes us be silent to praise to God, nature itself will cry out. But also, the majesty of power of God is that God can raise children from stones. Well, hold on, Pastor Muse. That sounded pretty weird that stones can worship God, but now you say stones can become children? But the power of God is such that if he wanted to, he could create children out of stones. And where does that come from? Well, the Pharisees were giving John the Baptist the hard time about Jesus bringing people into his kingdom. And John the Baptist said, listen, you Pharisees think that just because you're relatives of Abraham or something special. Sometimes people in church think, well, because I have relatives in church, I'm something special. But let's hear what John the Baptist replies. You brood of vipers, which is snakes, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones God can raise who? And friends in Christ, you and I were once dead stones in a sin that God raised to life, that we become children of God. God can raise children out of stones out of you and I, who many times are hard-headed against God. God has a power and majesty to do that. I want to talk to you about worship because we're talking about speaking. Do you open up your mouth during worship? No offense, you ever hear of a couch potato? You know what I'm talking about? Well, there also are pew potatoes. I don't respond, I don't speak. Why not? Am I bored by it? Does it take too much to concentrate? Do I think I'm above that and beyond that? Do you come to God's house? Why? To get through it? Or is God calling you to open up your mouth and to worship and praise? With a faithful heart to confess and cry out and sing to God, complete this with me as part of our liturgy in worship. O Lord, open my lips and my what? My mouth shall declare your praise. See, God has designed it. Yes, thank you. God has designed worship that we ourselves are called to shout out like the stones. Matter of fact, God says, I will put my word in your mouth that you speak it back to me. If worship seems boring, maybe it's because there's pew potatoes who are boring. But not in worship, but God speaks his word to us that we might speak it back to him. Complete this with me. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you will be what? So we are not called to be just casual observance or I don't want to participate. God himself leads us to open up our mouth in worship and to share and confess the faith we have. And finally, friends in Christ, Jesus is the cornerstone. And what are you and I called? We're living stones. We're living stones that shout out praise of God. We're living stones who God has given gifts and talents and skills to that we contribute to the well-being of God's kingdom in little ways or great ways. Do you see yourself as a living stone? Are you involved to bless God's church, to bless others in giving and living and loving and serving? We are living stones. In the corner there, you see a house. Maybe it's a little chapel. There's a cornerstone there, some capstones, but you and I are the living stones. We're living people who are love and care for others and our Lord. We're part of those who shout and testify to God. Living stones by the grace of God, who lived and died and rose for all of us. Now finally, as you come to him, the living stone, you're also like living stones are being built into a spiritual house to be a royal priesthood offering spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And by the way, there's one more stone I want to talk about, but guess what? That's next week's sermon. I'll mention that stone next week. So how about this for a closing thought? Can you all read it with me out loud? Thank you. Oh, that I had 1,000 voices to praise my God with 1,000 tongues. My heart with which the world rejoices would then proclaim in grateful songs to all whatever I might be, what great things God has done for me. And with faithful stones our mouths, we speak out, and all God's people say, amen.